Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, January the 5th. The Cowboys are going to be playing later today. We wish them well. They're playing Seattle. That should be a very tough game, but it should be a good game, and I'm hoping the Cowboys will prevail. But as I say, I think it's going to be a tough game. Well, today we're going to talk about the situation down in Venezuela. You know, in about a week or so, they will have the inauguration of the president. In this case, it'll be Mr. Maduro, who will be continuing as president. And there's a lot of talk, and I'm hearing it from more than just Venezuelans or the United States. There are lots and lots of countries now in Latin America who are calling on Maduro basically to resign and to let the country hold new elections. As you may recall, there was a lot of controversy back whenever the elections were. I don't remember, but it would have been sometime in 2018. When they had the elections, there was a lot of controversy about the way the elections were conducted and how open and transparent the elections were. The net result in Venezuela is that you have a president who is highly unpopular, running a country that is highly dysfunctional, in a population that is very unhappy. They're losing people like crazy. Look at the border with Colombia. Venezuelans trying to escape. They're trying to escape through Brazil. Obviously, the ones who can try to get to the United States, but that's a little bit more complicated because they have to ask for asylum and they've got to fly to the United States to begin with. I heard the other day that many Venezuelans are flying to Madrid and basically moving to Spain, especially the ones who have Spanish parents or grandparents who are being granted dual citizenship because of that. But the bottom line is that Venezuela is a total complete failure, a total complete failed state, and it would be good, I think, for the country if Maduro would step aside and call for elections and let the country have a new effort at selecting a leader. Obviously, Maduro does not enjoy the support of the people. And I just think it's one of those times when you have to say, you know what, there has to be a change. The situation in Venezuela cannot continue the way it is. So I'm hoping that President Trump, as well as many, I know the new president of Brazil is not a fan of Maduro. The new president of Chile is not a fan of Maduro. And I'm hoping that countries simply say, you know what, this has to change. We can't go on like this. So we'll see what happens. But something is going to give here in the next week or so because, again, the situation is completely dysfunctional and out of control down in Venezuela. All you have to do is read what's happening in that country, from as simple as a lack of medical supplies. Everything in the country has just fallen completely apart over the last few years. And, it's time for a change. And we hope it happens here in the next 10 days or so when supposedly the new president is inaugurated, or in the case of Maduro, he would be re-inaugurated in a few days. So let's pray. Let's pray for change in Venezuela. I'm very hopeful that maybe this is a good opportunity, because you're getting a lot of help from other countries. You're getting help from other Latin American countries, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing when those countries are shouting to show their support. Well, the Democrats are now running the country, or at least the House, I should say, the House, not the country, the House. And over the last 72 hours, we have seen everything that could possibly go wrong with the Democrats running the House. First of all, you have this lady from Michigan, this congresswoman from Michigan, who makes an absolutely outrageous remark. She makes it in an open microphone, which is amazing to me. If you're going to say something like that, if you're a member of Congress, and you're going to make a statement like that about the President of the United States, why would you make it into an open microphone, especially these days when everything is recorded? I mean, everybody, basically, when you go to a party these days, or you go anywhere these days, you have to assume that whatever you say is being recorded, because that's just the way it is. Everybody's got an iPhone, and iPhones have become nothing, they're like a microphone. They're like a video like a camera. So anything you say will show up on the internet, particularly if you're a famous person. So anyway, that's the first thing. This lady said, we're going to impeach, well, you know what she said, the MF President Trump. Well, that's a very idiotic thing to say, especially considering that impeachment is one of the most serious things that we have in the Constitution. I mean, we have obviously a provision in the Constitution to impeach and convict the president, but it's not something you take lightly. It's certainly not something you do for partisan reasons, which is apparently what this lady believes. So that's the first thing. Then they go on the Senate, on the House floor, and they start voting on things like the elimination of the Electoral College. And they want to take away the president's, or they want to limit the president's pardon powers. And now apparently they want to pass a bill that demands that President Trump has to give up 10 years of tax returns, I guess. Well, this is insane. I mean, this is left-wing insanity that they're proposing. Let's talk about the Electoral College. Look, people, honest people, and I've said this many times, I like the Electoral College, but I can certainly understand the argument that some people make that the Electoral College is not fair because it overstates, for example, the votes of a state like Wyoming, and it understates the votes of California and Texas. It's a reasonable argument. Smart people, serious people can disagree on this. I can certainly, again, I like the Electoral College, but I can certainly understand the point of view of someone who says, no, let's go popular vote. I can understand that, okay? Whatever my feelings are about this, the Electoral College is part of the Constitution, and any change to the Electoral College would have to go through an amendment to the Constitution, meaning it has to get out of the House, it has to get out of the Senate, it has to be signed by the president, and then it has to go to the states. And I don't know how long the states have, but sometimes these things can take up to 10 years. And then 3/4 of the state legislatures have to approve the amendment. So this is a very difficult, and it could be another 10 years, assuming that you got all the votes you needed to have. So why are we wasting our time with, you know, the Electoral College? I understand they're mad because they said Hillary Clinton won the election, or she won the popular vote. Yes, she did. She won the popular vote because the popular vote didn't matter. If Donald Trump had run a campaign based on the popular vote, he would have done things differently. He would have campaigned a lot more in California. He would have campaigned a lot more in Texas. He would have campaigned a lot more in places where he could have gotten more vote out. But he focused on the Electoral College. That's why he went to Wisconsin. That's why he went to New Hampshire. That's why he went to Michigan, you know, because he was looking for electoral votes. He was looking for 270 electoral votes. So it's a different strategy, okay, when you run for the Electoral College than when you run for the popular vote. Either way, whatever my feelings are, either way, it takes a constitutional amendment to do any of this. So why are we bringing this up in the House? If we're going to bring it up at all, let's bring it up as a constitutional amendment, but they never do that. They never do that. And it just irritates me because they're just posturing. And all I can tell you is that, and I have a post at the American Thinker about this today. There's 31 Democrats who won districts that President Trump won in 2016. These were very competitive elections in these districts. The Democrat basically won very tight elections. If you look at the numbers, a lot of those 31 were elected by 1 to 2 points. And these Democrats are going to have to go back for re-election. And the message that these Democrats had during the campaign was not impeaching Trump. It was not, you know, eliminating the Electoral College or socialized medicine or Medicare for all. Most of them ran on a very centrist campaign, basically saying, hey, you know, we are interested in working together and getting some things done and so on and so on. A lot of it was an economic message, actually, that you were hearing from these Democrats. So all I can tell you is if the Democrats, if this is how they think they're going to keep the House, I think they're in for a big surprise. I really do, because this is not how they're going to keep the House. This is how they're going to make it very likely that the Republicans pick up the House. So I think serious Democrats have to be looking at all of this and wondering, my goodness, what in the heck is going on in the House? Because right now, the image of the House Democrats is that of a crazy left-wing party. That's what it is, and that's not gonna get them reelected, at least the ones in competitive elections. We're going to take a break. We'll hear from Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' schedule on the show information. We also have a link to my friend Duke Machado, who is a car dealer here in Texas. So if you're looking for a car, click on Duke. If you want to find out where Carlos is playing, click on his link. Well, a couple of things on this day in history. We want to say happy number 71 to Charlie Huff, who was a great pitcher for the Texas Rangers. And we also want to say hello to Vin Scully. Vin Scully was the voice of the Dodgers, and it was on this day in 1950 that he signed with the Dodgers, that he began working with the Dodgers, or he signed with the Dodgers. He began working with them, of course, in the upcoming baseball season. This is a man who called baseball games, initially on the radio, and then he moved on to television. He called baseball games from 1950 to 2017. That is a total of 67 years behind the microphone. You know, baseball is a little bit different than the other sports in many ways, of course, but one of the big differences is that baseball is every day. From April to October, you may have a few days off here and there, but it's an everyday thing. So if you're calling the games, obviously, you know, you're calling what's happening on the field. But there's a lot of creativity required when you're calling a baseball game because you don't have the constant action that you have, let's say, in hockey or in basketball or even in football. So you have to have a lot more information around the play-by-play. And that was what Vin Scully did so well. He was just absolutely fabulous in the stories that he would tell and everything that he would say. And he finally retired, and I don't know why. I don't think it was because of bad health, because by all indications he was in pretty good health. But he retired at the end of the 17th season. And I tell you, if you've never heard Vin Scully call a baseball game, I would ask you to go to YouTube and dig up some of his play-by-play calls. There was an elegance to the way he called the game. He was not a screamer. He was not a, let's get everybody excited about that play kind of guy. He was very much he was almost like a gentleman. He was like a country gentleman sitting back and just describing things in front of you. And he had this incredible ability to describe things in a way that any of us, I do podcasts and other people do radio, you know, in a much bigger scale. And I was always envious. I have to confess it. I was always envious of Vin Scully because there was a style to him. There was a way that he did things that was just absolutely amazing. And I remember I didn't obviously grow up listening to the Dodgers. I would usually pick up Vin Scully during the postseason because for a while there in the 70s and the 80s, he would do the postseason baseball games or some of them. I know he did the World Series several times. The guy was just fantastic. I would literally turn down the TV and listen to Vin Scully. That is how fabulous he was and how enjoyable it was to hear him call a baseball game. So Vin Scully began his career on this day in 1950, and he did it for 67 years. What an absolutely, absolutely amazing broadcaster he was. Just absolutely great. Just absolutely great. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, where it's absolutely beautiful, a completely beautiful afternoon here in January, temperatures in the 50s, and just absolutely great. And all I can say is the Cowboys are going to be playing in a few hours. Go Cowboys! Make it to the next round. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.